Thank you for listening and subscribing to the Anchor Church podcast. It is our desire at the Anchor to provide a place for you to know God, find freedom, discover your God-given purpose, and ultimately make a difference in the world around you. Each week, the Anchor podcast features Sunday sermons. You can follow along in this podcast episode and read the sermon notes on our website by visiting theanchor.me. Now, let's get into the Word.
Amen, amen. Y'all doing all right today? Yeah, it's so good to see all of you here. Listen, for the next few moments, I want to share a couple of thoughts with you around the idea of supplication. And so I know that's not a term that we use that often, but I want to encourage you to kind of get hungry. I believe Jesus wants to say some really simple, practical things, but as always, man, it requires us to open our ears and open up our hearts to really receive it. Amen? 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 Amen. So supplication, like I said, it's not a word that we use often, but it simply means this. It means the act of asking earnestly and humbly. The act of asking earnestly and humbly. Now, I don't know about you, but I really appreciate the simplicity of that definition for no other reason than this. You know, over the last, 27 years, I've seen so many people struggle and wrestle, with prayer simply because they overcomplicate it. But I just want to encourage you, in light of that definition, you know, when it comes down to, the, you know, plain language, just core, just the heart of it, prayer is simply just asking God for help. Amen? So thankfully, Jesus showed us this powerful truth in Matthew chapter 6. I want to look at this. It's known as the Lord's Prayer, but let's look at it a little bit deeper today. Jesus said this. He said, pray this in this way. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Let me insert two words here. We ask your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We ask, give us this day our daily bread. And we ask, forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lastly, we ask, do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now, please notice that sandwiched in between those two thoughts of adoration of the Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, and for yours is the kingdom and the glory, that in the middle of this prayer, it's really just centered around this whole idea of you and I coming to a good dad and just simply asking. Like in the middle, it's there we discover that Jesus not only instructing us, but he's given you and I permission to come and ask the Father for guidance, wisdom, healing, provision, forgiveness, deliverance, and protection. Isn't that good stuff? Amen. Listen, in my opinion, the Apostle Paul echoes this same truth in Philippians 4:6, another familiar passage. He said, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything. Somebody say everything. But in everything, by prayer and, there's our word, supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests or let your asking for help be made known to God. So again, not only is God teaching us, but he is eagerly inviting us to come and to ask for his help concerning our very deep personal needs. Now, here's what I find so interesting about those two passages. Even though they're well-read, well-quoted, there's been thousands of sermons preached on them, I've discovered over the years that a lot of Christians, they're still hesitant to put those verses into action. You know, one example that comes to my mind is this. Several years ago, while I was up in the Northwest, a seasoned pastor and I were chatting, and we're really out of nowhere in the conversation. He said to me, Quentin, have you ever wondered if God knows everything we need, then why do we need to ask for things in prayer? You know, by his question, I knew he was referring to what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 8. He said, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask. Now, at first when he said that, I just thought maybe he was using that statement, that question as a conversation starter. But as we continued to talk, he confessed that he was really wrestling with this particular piece of prayer. In other words, he was having difficulty wrapping his mind around, you know, what we should and what we shouldn't be asking for. Like, what was selfish? What was impractical? What was the difference between our will versus God's will? What was worth praying about and what should you and I just, you know, accept that's part of life and we just move on with it? Now, all of those are great questions, but to him, they boiled down to one foundational question, is if God already knows, then why do we ask? Now, I'll admit, in that conversation, my initial knee-jerk reaction thought was pretty straightforward. It was this: why do we ask? Because Jesus told us to. Right? Like, we know the scripture. He says this, that if you ask anything in my name, I'll do it. He said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you desire and I will do it for you, right? He said, ask and you will receive, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be open. And so we understand scripturally, we ask as Jesus told us to, right? But if you and I take a step back, like in that conversation, I had to tell myself that while the answer, because Jesus told us to, may be enough for me because of how I'm wired, right? Like I'm really black and white. If he says that, I'm good, right? But the reality is that doesn't always move the needle for everybody else. You know, it's almost like when my kids ask me why they have to do something, and I tell them, because I said so, right? And any parent ever done that? All right, three of us. Awesome. Okay, the rest of you guys are better. All right, anyways, so like I know with my kids when I say that it doesn't satisfy their curiosity. Like, because they know instinctively there's a deeper reason that I'm telling them what to do. I'm just not taking the time to explain why. And so rather than us making that mistake today of just saying, because Jesus said it, you know, let's dig a little bit deeper. Let me give you four quick thoughts of why you and I should ask, why he wants us to ask. So if you're taking notes, jot these down. First reason God wants us to ask is because asking communicates relationship. Asking communicates relationship. This is a great verse out of Psalm 27. It simply says this: as my heart has heard you say, come and talk to me. In other words, God is saying, come and talk to me. And my heart responds to God, Lord, I am coming. That's talking about relationship, right? And so I just think when you and I pray, like, we need to be careful that we don't lose sight that prayer is a relationship, not a formula. Right, like after all, Jesus died to give you and I access to a Father, right? Not some drive-through window. Yeah. Right, like he doesn't want us to kind of view prayer as we pull in, place our order, and then we pick it up at the next window. You know, in and out in 5 minutes, you know, call it a day. Like that's about as impersonal as it gets, and I hope none of us do that. But with that in mind, let me just remind you of the picture that Jesus wants you and I to take when we come to prayer, the posture. It says this in Matthew 7. It says, you parents, if your children ask for a loaf of bread, do you give them a stone instead? Or if they ask for a fish, do you give them a snake? Of course not. So if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to those who, what? Ask. Ask him what? For help. Now, what I want us to notice today when we read this is notice the relational language that Jesus chose to use. Like, he isn't talking about a kid coming up to a stranger going, sir, excuse me, can you help me? No, he's actually talking about a kid that's asking the number one person that they should be closest to, most comfortable with, and most familiar with. It's what? It's their parent. So what's wild is in spite of what Jesus is teaching us, not only here, but the rest of the Gospels, I have lost count over the years of how many people that I've had a conversation with that have said something like this: well, Pastor, God has way more on his plate than what I got going on. He's dealing with bigger issues like world hunger, wars, corrupt government, sex trafficking. So I really don't need to bother him with my little bitty issues. Now, every time I've had that conversation with someone, I don't say anything, but it sounds noble. They're concerned about all that big stuff. It sounds noble. But here's what those people are unintentionally admitting, is that they see God more as some high government official than a caring father, right? And that they see themselves in prayer more as a nuisance than a cherished and beloved son or daughter of God. It's sad. So in my mind, this is one of the reasons why I love this passage so much, because it doesn't just reveal the Father's good intentions towards you and I, but it also strips away any notion that God's too busy, too important, too distant to hear our prayers. In fact, what it does is it brings him into one of the most natural conversations that we'll ever experience as a parent. And it goes like this: Dad, I'm hungry. Can you fix me a bowl of cereal? Mom, I'm hungry. Can you fix me a turkey sandwich? Sandwich. Like, Jesus is urging us through this portion of Scripture, once again, all the stuff that's around it, to remember that the Father is so relational that when we pray, that he actually wants to chat with us about normal everyday life things like a piece of bread, right? So the reason I'm saying this is because the closer I get to Jesus, the more I realize that he just loves being with us. Right, and because he loves us, he's truly interested in every part of our lives. Like, hear me, he's interested in who you marry. He's interested in where you work, where you go to school, right? He's interested in your friendships, right? How you spend your money, how you spend your time, how you use your talents, the health of your relationships, what you believe, right? How you're feeling today. Like, you could fill in the blank. Whatever is concerning to you, he's concerned. Right? Like, there's literally not a single area of our lives that he doesn't care about, but he doesn't just care about it. He actually has an opinion and perspective that he wants to share with you if you're just given the opportunity. Yeah. Let me give you an example. Several years ago, I was basically sitting on the sideline watching one of my kids practice with their sports team. And I began to think, as I'm, you know, watching all these kids run around, do their thing, I began to think about how, even though my kid had been with that team for several years, they were still struggling to make friends. And as a dad, just being honest, that grieved me. Like, you want to see your kids connect. You want to see them have fun. You want to see them enjoy it, right? And so I'm just sitting there. Once again, this practice is going on. I begin to pray, and I begin to ask God to connect my kid's heart with the other kid's heart. I ask God, will you please let them be accepted? You know, I said, Lord, it'd be super cool if some of them invited them to come to their house, right, and just hang out for the day. Like, God, that'd be awesome, right? And so I'm a few minutes into this prayer, just kind of asking God to intervene and move. And then the Lord interrupted me mid-sentence, and he said this. He said, why do you want to see that happen? Have you ever been dumbstruck by the Lord? Yeah. And then he said this. Y'all hear me, please. Hear my heart in this. He said, Quentin, take a closer look. So I just surveyed the field, the kids. He said, where do you see me in their lives? Do they love me? Do they serve me? Now, please understand, I'm not saying those kids are evil and they're going to grow up and, you know, destroy the world or anything. That's not what I'm saying. But I realized what the Lord was impressing me is our family has kingdom values that they don't share, right? And God was literally going, look, you need to pay attention to that. And then he just simply kind of closed the conversation with this. Are you sure you want your kid to be friends with those kids? It was at that point I realized something that I hadn't realized for years, and it was this, is that what I had viewed as rejection was really God's divine protection. Because I stopped and I actually asked for help in a moment, right, it opened the door for God to share his perspective with me in a really relational way. And in that conversation, I only saw God's care and his plan and his hand on my child's life. But I realized that, guess what, that he was closing the door, and I was super grateful for it because he was the one closing it. Like I couldn't argue and complain and even pray about it anymore when the fact that I realized God's protecting my kid's destiny. Am I making sense? So once again, prayer is relational, but we have to ask because it communicates, God, I want that relationship, right? So the second reason is this. God wants us to ask because asking communicates faith. You know, one of my favorite stories in the Gospels comes from Mark chapter 10. This is where a guy named blind Bartimaeus is sitting by the gates of Jericho, and he's begging for money. And when he hears Jesus walking by, he begins to, cry out in desperation. He doesn't just sit there in the crowd and silently hope that Jesus will do a miracle. He actually begins to cry out in desperation, goes, Son of David, have mercy on me, right? And then we come to verse 49 of Mark 10. It says, when Jesus heard him, he stopped and said, tell him to come here. It says, Bartimaeus threw aside his coat, jumped up, and came to Jesus. Now watch this. Jesus said, what do you want me to do for you? Now, y'all give me loads of grace here, but for years I read that, and I would say, Jesus, that's the dumbest question could ever be asked. Right? I'm like, Jesus, it's obvious. The dude's blind. He needs healing. Like, do you not understand? 20 seconds ago, this guy's screaming his head off, trying to get your attention. Now he's got your attention. Now you're going to waste his time, your time, and ask this ridiculous question, right? But watch this, because I, because I know Jesus. I realize he's pretty smart, right? And everything he does is intentional. And so what it does, though, if you stop and you circle all the way back to our original question, it'll teach you something. If God already knows what we need, like he knew with Bartimaeus, then why do we need to ask? For starters, it's because of this. Just put this in your pocket. Remember it. It's because he only comes where he's welcomed. Okay? He doesn't barge in. He waits to be called, right? So that's part of it. Secondly, key point is he asks us to ask him because he wants to know where our faith is. See, the very act of asking is an expression of our faith. Tie that in with what James says. He says what? You have not because you ask not. If we like it or not, it's the kingdom rule, right? So apply that once again to Mark 10, verse 51. Once again, Jesus, what do you want me to do for you? And then he says, my rabbi, the blind man, said, I want to see. That's what I'm asking for, right? And Jesus said to him, go for your what? Go for your what? Faith. Your faith has healed you. And instantly the man could see. Pretty incredible. What you're going to find out, I know there's a lot of people that are new on your journey with God. You're going to live your life, you're going to recognize needs, and they're going to be really small. Instead of blowing them off, have faith that God will move. Because the reason is because God will begin to answer those prayers, and he uses this as a strategic method to increase your faith, build your faith, so that when you get in bigger, harder, more impossible, God-sized problem situations, you'll have faith that he'll move there. But we got to start somewhere. Amen? Amen? Amen. Third reason God wants us to ask is because asking communicates trust. Hear me on this angle I'm going to take here, please. There's one thing I know about human nature, that it doesn't matter if you're 2 years old or 102 years old, that you and I, we all like being in charge and we like being in control of our lives. Great place for y'all to say amen. Okay? But I like how one author put it. He said, subconsciously, we tell ourselves this. Y'all bring this to your world. He said, I want to live a fruitful, meaningful life, but I'm just not sure I can trust God. I can trust him as my answer to the big theological questions, but I'm not sure if I can trust him with my dreams, my hopes, my plans. I can trust him ultimately, but I doubt I can trust him immediately in the now. Watch this. So I'm white-knuckling my life with everything I've got, micromanaging my surroundings, my perception, and my next step. In other words, what he's saying is you and I have a tendency to trust God with our eternal salvation, but we question if we can trust him with the vulnerable places of our heart, with our finances right now, with our relationships right now, with our comfort and our security right now, and then if we can even trust him with the next year, 2, 3, 4, 5 years. We trust him for way out there, but can we trust him down here? And so the reason when we go, I don't know, that's why you and I try to stay in control. Like, what's my life really going to look like when I go, Jesus, it's yours? Scary to a lot of people, right? So watch this. If that's true for you, if it's true for me, how do you and I break free from a desire to be in control? We got to learn how to ask God for help, even when we think we have it covered. Yeah? So I believe one of the most vulnerable things that you and I can do with God is to simply ask for his help, because it communicates, God, I can't do it. And it communicates, God, I'm choosing not to depend on myself, but choosing to depend upon you, right? So give you an example. In my opinion, there have been few people who have freely relinquished control and have demonstrated a level of trust as the late George Mueller. Now, you may not know who George Mueller is, but this is a guy, lived in England. He started 117 schools. He educated 120,000 children. And more notably, he housed and cared for over 10,000 orphans. Like I think, having my little tribes a lot, 10,000 orphans, right? 120,000 children. Now, what makes this guy's legacy so extraordinary is that he refused to tell anybody about his financial needs. He refused to ask for money. Instead, he just simply chose, I'm going to pray, and the Lord's going to take care of me, my family, my staff, and all these children, thousands of them, right? Now, as you can expect, there came times where they didn't have the money, they didn't have the provision to actually even sometimes just feed the kids a meal, right? Am I making sense? So to give you one example, there was one particular morning that 300 kids that were living in the orphanage, basically all gathered around their tables. They were ready for breakfast. They were hungry. And George stood up there in front of all of them like he did every morning, and he realized we have no food in the kitchen. And instead of freaking out like most of us would do, run around telling everybody what we need, he simply bowed his head and instructed the staff and the kids, we're going to pray and we're going to thank God for the food that he's going to give us today. The dude said, amen. And immediately when he said amen, somebody started pounding on the door. They went, one of his staff members opened up the door. It was the baker, said, the Lord woke me up at 2:00 in the morning and told me to start making you guys fresh bread. And so he brought in fresh bread for 300 kids and the staff. And then if that wasn't cool enough, as soon as all that was, being divvied out, there came another knock on the door. They opened it up and it was the milkman. While they were praying, his cart broke in front of their building. I'll leave that one up to the Lord. And so it broke and he said, hey, by any chance, would you guys need my load of fresh milk that I have today? So that's how they live, not once, not twice, but that's how they live for years, right? Now, what's so amazing is you want to go, okay, why did he do that? Why did he choose to live that way? I believe that he understood that asking God for help removed the temptation to trust in his own abilities. And so what he did was he put God in the driver's seat, not himself. Okay, but I want to bring a balancing statement here because I think it's important for you and I. Like, it's amazing and all that is, it wasn't easy. Like we have this mindset, if we're not happy, comfortable, and easy, then it can't be God. That's not Bible, okay? So this man endured hardships. Not all of his prayers were answered immediately or in such dramatic fashion, and even some of his prayers weren't answered at all. But here's what I so admire about this man, is that he lived with a rare peace. And the reason is because he trusted if his prayers lined up with God's plan, God would say yes. And if they didn't line up with God's plan, God would say no. And he was all right with that because he knew George Mueller wasn't in control. God was. And so the simple point I want to make to you guys today when it comes to supplication and asking and saying, okay, basically I'm going to trust God and I'm not going to choose to control everything in my life, micromanage it. Is to understand this, that if a guy like that could trust God to provide in the magnitude that he did and see God come through again and again and again, then surely you and I, right, can trust God with the needs that we have for our lives and our family. Like, we shouldn't look at that as a slam. We should look at that as encouragement that that's our Father and that's how he moves, right? And he loves us just as much as he loved him and all those kids. Amen? Here's the fourth and final reason. This is important, especially if you're in the room and you're like, I want to do something for Jesus. The reason God wants us to ask is because asking communicates influence. Asking communicates influence. Here's what I mean. And I don't mean to be disrespectful to anyone in this, but for years, certain people have taught that everything in this universe is predetermined, so it doesn't matter what we do. Things can't be changed. In other words, they say God has already decided A, B, and C, and it's done. They've said, okay, here's the people he's chosen to go to heaven. Here's the people he's chosen to go to hell. If you don't like it, get over it, because that's the way it is, right? So shut up, close your eyes, put your head down, learn to be content, and just accept it. Anybody ever heard some of that? I've heard a lot of it, okay? And I struggle with that sort of teaching, and I'm going to tell you why. Because my Bible from Genesis to Revelation is full of people, God's people, who actually prayed, and they prayed in such a way that they believed that their prayers could and would be answered. Right? Like, we literally see examples. I wish I had time because there's so many of where we see God was going to do something and one of his kids went and prayed and God said, okay, because you asked, I'll change my mind. You tie that in with the, basically, I'm the Lord God that does not change. I don't get it. It's a mystery. I just think this. It's you and I, when we think about when we pray, it's God giving us influence. Okay? That it's not that you and I can control God in prayer, but we can certainly influence him. And it's not that we can override people's free will, but listen, we can influence their choices in prayer. I wish I had time to give you stories after story after story, but man, there's been so many times I've prayed and I've watched God do things. Like bring someone across somebody's path, and people live in different parts of the world, see God answer things, and it's just what he does, right? It's even this. There's a guy that's in the church. A lot of you know him. Growing up, they didn't have a lot, and they had a box, and that box was for prayer requests. And there were times where there was prayer requests that they were not allowed to tell anybody. So mom and dad had that, and they would pray, and it went like this: Lord, we need food for dinner. And they'd pray, and somebody come knock on the door. There's some pizza. That's influence. Am I making sense? So if we don't believe that's true, listen to what Dallas Willard said. He said this: God's response to our prayers is not a charade. He does not pretend he is answering our prayers when he is only doing what he was going to do anyways. Our requests really do make a difference in what God does or does not do. Best example I can give you this moment. A lot of you guys have heard of a guy named Dwight Moody, D.L. Moody. D.L. Moody for years used to carry a list with him everywhere he went of 100 names. It was 100 names of people who were not saved. And so he chose to pray for those 100 people and ask for their salvation every day. When they would get saved, he would mark out their name, right, wherever they were at on the list, but they stayed on the list. When that man died at the age of 62, 96 of those people had given their life to Jesus. And that's super awesome, but you go, what about the four? They got saved at his funeral. Like, is that not incredible? Once again, why? It's because God allows you and I, when we ask, to have influence in what he is doing in the earth, that we get to be co-laborers and partners in the redemption plan. Amen? So to land this, why do you and I ask if he already knows what we need? Because it communicates relationship, because it communicates our faith, because it communicates that we trust him rather than ourselves. And lastly, it's because we are thrilled to be a part of what he is doing. Amen? Can you stand to your feet? Pastor Tommy Sr. is going to come pray. For you guys that don't know him, that's Tommy's dad. And I just said, hey, can you come and just pray today and close us out? He's in town visiting his son. But it's always special to have him and Miss Lisa with us. So come pray, brother.
Wasn't that a powerful message? Really good stuff, huh? Praise God, praise God. Let's go to the Lord. Oh, Father, what a great and tremendous privilege it is to be able to ask. Lord, just think if you made it in such a way that we would be fearful to come to the throne of grace and ask, as your word says, come to the throne of grace boldly. Lord, we have the ability to come to you boldly because we have relationship with you in the asking. Because, Lord, our faith is built in the asking. Oh, Jesus, because our trust in you is built in the asking. And, Lord, influence is built in the asking. And, Lord, the ability to have influence in our very area, our very city, our very families, Lord, our very communities. And, Lord, that I pray that those that are today just saying, can I ask one more time? Lord, I've come to that throne of grace many times. Yes, yes, there's no limit. There's no limit. Lord, your word tells us that we can come to you. If we come close to you, you even come closer still. So, Lord, as we come, even at this moment, we say, Lord, thank you for the ability to ask. Once again, Lord, that you encourage us in the engagement of coming close to you. Even right now, I just if we could just take one extra moment. Lord, can I even ask you of that? Can I? And I hear the Lord saying, yes. Lord, we thank you for that opportunity, that great privilege, that great purpose of coming to you and asking, just like a child comes to their father or mother. We come to you as a heavenly Father, and we thank you that Jesus is that intermediator, that mediator between man and God. And we thank you, Lord, that we can do that today. And we have the ability to say, it is done, it is done, it is done. And so, Lord, in that spirit of knowing that you move, you answer, and you love to hear from us. As you say, I'm your God, you are mine, you are my people. And Lord, we get to say, you are our God, we are your people. And Lord, because of that, you answer with a resounding yes. In Jesus' name, and everybody agreed, said, amen, and amen means so be it. So look at your neighbor and say, so be it. Tell them right now. Hallelujah. Come on, put your hands together for the Lord one more time as we close today.
Thank you for joining us today. Be sure to follow us on Facebook and Instagram for encouragement in your walk with God and to receive updates on events happening at The Anchor. Have a great week and God bless.